You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
So I want you to just take a moment and picture a tree stump. But as you picture that stump, I also want you to think of the tree that it used to be. Maybe it's a tree, an apple tree or a cherry tree or a tree that you can just taste the fruit that used to come off those branches. Or maybe it was a tree that you used to climb and hide up in the branches. Or maybe it's a tree with big branches and big leaves that you could sit under in the heat of the day and read or rest. Or maybe it's a tree that's just pretty, a tree that you could maybe decorate at Christmas and just be in awe of its beauty. But as you're thinking about that tree now, this tree that used to stand tall, this tree that used to be strong and alive with all these great benefits, is nothing anymore. When we think of a stump is really a symbol of loss or failure or disappointment or endings. And it's that picture that Isaiah wants us to get as God has commissioned Isaiah to go and speak on his behalf to the people of Israel. Right after that, in Isaiah 6, we get kind of his first speech, his first prophecy to the Israel as a warning where he says, the people of Israel will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it's felled, when it's cut down. But God tells Isaiah to tell the people of God that judgment for them is coming, that Israel will be reduced to a stump because they have stopped staying connected to God and they've gone and they've followed all of these other gods. And then the axe falls. Behold, the Lord God of hosts will lop the boughs with terrifying power. The great in height will be hewn down. The lofty will be brought low. He will cut down the thicket of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon will fall by the majestic one. Right? This is not a picture of deforestation. Right? This is not a picture of trees cut down and forests that are cleared. This is a picture of total devastation, of kings who will be cut down, of nations that will be humbled. And as this is speaking to the people of Israel, it very much seems like the promises of God back to Abraham that he would make Abraham a blessing of a great nation and the whole world would be blessed through his lineage. It seems like that promise is coming to an end. Israel is being turned into a stump. And I think you and I, we know these stump seasons in our lives, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, or even physically, where in our lives things that were once vibrant and alive and powerful get cut down to nothing. Times where we feel fruitless, times where we feel detached. And it's times like those that the Advent season speaks into so beautifully. Because the Advent season is an acknowledgement of how desperately we need God to act. And so into a stump season in the history of our world, after God had spoken and then he ceased speaking through the prophets for 400 years, the people of God were waiting for the first advent of their Savior. And there was this stump season where God was not speaking to them and where they felt cut off. And into that season in the history of the world, God sent a prophet Because while he promised that he would send a Messiah, he also promised that he'd send a second Elijah to prepare the way for that Messiah. And so into this stump season of the world, God sends the prophet John the Baptist. And so John the Baptist, he came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And when when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'Well, we have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham." Right? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, the religious people of the day were claiming things like, "Well, we have Abraham as our father, that we have this security in this lineage because we're ancestors of this guy who lived a long time ago. We have security in Abraham." But notice as you hear that, it's not about security in God. But I hear some of those same comments even still today. Not necessarily that we have Abraham as their father, but, "Well, I was baptized and confirmed." Or "I went to Trinity School." Or "My parents or my grandparents helped build this building." Or "I grew up in the church." And again, notice what's missing in all of those comments. Jesus himself. And so John the Baptist, as he is talking to these Pharisees and Sadducees and people who are so focused on their lineage to someone in the past, he says to them, like Isaiah said to the Israelites, "Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Right? John's not pulling any punches. Right? John is speaking very directly to a group of people and saying that, telling them, you know, God is not impressed with your religious labels. God is not impressed with your ancestry. God is not impressed to the way that you used to be connected. And it's not just John that says this. Jesus reframes this same warning. A lot of times Jesus will talk and he said, "Well, you've heard it say, but I say." And he does the same sort of thing here with John, John the Baptist in the book of John, written by John the Evangelist, where Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more." And so notice Jesus says the same thing. Every branch that doesn't bear fruit is taken away. And so as we read this, it's really easy to maybe think, "Well, oh, what do I have to do to earn my salvation? What do I have to do to make sure that I'm bearing fruit?" But again, like I said, Jesus often takes what we've heard and said, "You've heard it say, but I say, and he does, without using those words, he does the same thing here today. As he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that will bear fruit," or bears much fruit. "For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." All right, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's not about being connected to Abraham, is what Jesus, again, is kind of reiterating to us. It's not about a church membership. It's not about the things that we make it about, but it's about being connected to Jesus. Right? Jesus doesn't negate what John says. Bearing fruit is absolutely important. But our fruit is an indicator. And so I want you to take a moment just to consider, right, to ask yourself, where is there fruit in my life? Or is there good fruit in my life? Last week, we asked a very similar question. We just asked it in a different way. We said, well, while we're between these two Advents, while we're waiting to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but also waiting for him to return, what do we do while we wait for the return of Jesus? And we saw that it is the Spirit who equips us by grace with the good gifts that he gives. And those gifts are then used through the work of the Spirit to equip and to strengthen the church, to grow the kingdom of God. And so whether the question is, what do I do while I wait with the gifts that God has given me, or how are those gifts that God is giving me producing fruit in my life, or are they producing fruit in my life? The more important question to consider, or the follow-up question to consider is, what does that reveal about my connection to Jesus? Because the issue is not trying harder or trying better to bear more fruit. A branch that's connected to a tree that isn't bearing fruit, it can't just try harder to bear fruit. There's something wrong with its connection to the tree. The issue that Jesus wants us to see is that it's about abiding with him, staying connected to him. And the fruit is an indicator of our connection to Jesus. The fruit is a product, or dare I say, a produce of our connection to Jesus. Because Jesus says, if you abide in me, when you abide in me, as you abide in me, you will bear fruit. And so in this Advent season, as we're between these two worlds, as we're wondering, what do we do while we wait, John comes to speak. John, who spoke to prepare the way of the Lord for his first Advent, still prepares the way of the Lord for his second Advent for us today. And John says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And that word repent is a word that just means to turn. And it means to turn away from our sinful selves and turn back to Jesus. Not turn back to trying harder, but turn back to Jesus. And not just a memory of Jesus, or not just a way that you felt connected to Jesus sometime in the past, but to the real Jesus himself. The Jesus who is here with you today, who has covered you in the robes of Christ's righteousness. The Jesus who still speaks through the work of the Spirit, through his word to you today. The Jesus who is truly, physically, really present in the bread and in the wine. Not just a remembrance, not just a reminder of what he did, but really there for you, for the forgiveness of sins. And so we turn away from our sins back to that real Jesus who says to us, abide, remain, stay connected to me. And even that, even those words are gospel. They're good news, because I, by my own reason or strength, cannot come to my Lord Jesus Christ or know him. But it is the Spirit who calls us by the gospel, who equips us, who sanctifies us, and who keeps us in his grace. And as we abide, as we stay connected through the work of the Spirit, it is Jesus who then gives life. And so I then want to go back to Isaiah. And when we left off Isaiah, judgment for the people of Israel has happened. Everything has been cut down. Israel has been turned to a stump, and stumps are dead. Stumps don't turn back into trees. Stumps are dead. And so into that, God speaks. He says, but there will come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Out of death, out of that stump, out of being cut off, comes life. And we see what that life brings as we scan through the rest of Isaiah 11, as the Spirit of the Lord is upon that branch, and he brings justice, and he brings peace as the wolf lies down with the lamb, and all of these other animals do things that they wouldn't do here on this earth. And then the curse is undone as the earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord. And we see the promise of that second advent as new creation breaks in. And the resting place of God is with man, and it will be glorious. Right, this is the promise. This is the promise for all who remain connected to Jesus. It is Jesus who supplies life. It is Jesus who bears fruit in us and through us. It is Jesus who brings that kingdom that we wait for. And it is Jesus who is the shoot from the stump of Jesse, the one who brings life from death. So Pastor Gerber, I live south of Trinity a few blocks. And when the weather is nice, my family and I, we like to go for walks. Sometimes we like it, sometimes we don't like it, but we'll go for walks, and a lot of times we'll head this direction. Maybe we'll stop at the park or the playground here, or go to the park over in Clemens, or maybe we're just going for a walk, but we like to head this way. And for years, we would stop and maybe get stuck and never make it past a group of trees because my kids just had to climb the trees. And we would spend hours there climbing the trees. Until about a year and a half ago, when all of the trees were cut down. And now every time I go past that, I could be reminded of what used to be. Right, the fun time that we used to have. The way that those trees used to give us great joy. But those, I think it was 5 trees. As they were all cut down, 4 of those stumps were ground into nothingness. But there's one stump that remains, and this is the stump that I get to drive by every day. One of those stumps was carved into a cross. And suddenly, instead of driving past those trees and thinking of everything that used to be or what life could have been like if we could have kept climbing the trees, that stump becomes a sign of hope. Because just like the root, the shoot that rose from the cut-off stump of Jesse and Jesus brought life where there was only death, so too does that cross carved in the stump remind us that Jesus brings life out of death. And he brings life to those who are connected to him. The stump of Jesse, it shows us our need for Jesus, our need for a Savior. And the warning of John the Baptist awakens us to that need for him. And then the Spirit of God turns us back, repents us back to Jesus, connects us to Jesus, keeps us connected to Jesus. And then is the promise of Jesus for that last day, for that second advent, that gives us hope. This season of Advent reminds us to remain connected to Jesus, the branch who gives life. And the one who will bring the fullness of God's peace and glory when he returns again. And so as we are connected to the vine, as we are connected to the shoot from the stump of Jesse, as we are connected to Jesus, we will bear fruit, absolutely. Amen? Amen.